It is 8:13, and we welcome Bill Hall back to Tri-Cities Talk Radio, AM 910 WJCW. Good morning, Bill Hall.
Good morning, Carl, and good morning, Alec. I missed you guys last week, but we did. Carl and I listened to you while we were at the beach, and we thought you guys did an excellent job last week.
Well, thank you.
And Tyler, of course, superstar.
Tyler Ramey did a super job.
He's a superstar, and it's clearly evident. And if anybody in the Tri-Cities wants a dynamic, fun, knowledgeable superstar, Tyler Ramey is definitely your person.
I'm
going to throw out that personal testimonial because I've worked with him. He works with our firm, and he's outstanding. He's outstanding. And his sphere of influence is huge. I mean, he's been teaching at the Y since he was a teenager.
Wow.
At the Y in Kingsport. He has taught. Everybody in the Tri has sometime gone through that Y in Kingsport.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now since they've done such a big uptick in the performance of this space that they've created over there. And before I forget, Carl, and off the subject for a minute, I want to reach out to the people in our area. You know, there's over 500,000 people with ears that are in our area of coverage of this radio
station. That's right.
Mm-hmm. There's over 500,000. Could you imagine if every one of them just put $10 in Second Harvest Food Bank's account for them to operate, how much better that they would be and how easy it would be for us for $10 to do that.
That'd be $5 million right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be great. So why don't we reach out and say to people, I think that we should all help. Second Harvest is an outstanding, outstanding charity. And they work very hard with a very, very minimal budget. And I am personally, after listening to Rhonda talk this morning, I'm definitely going to be a contributor of that. And I reach out to all my friends out there that listen to this radio show to do the same as well. I think it's a huge aspect of that.
Thank you, Bill. That's certainly well observed and well worth it.
Website, by the way, is netfoodbank.org.
Right, netfoodbank.org.
Yep. I will be visiting that personally this morning.
Cool. Very good. Thank you, Bill. Bill Hall here at 8:15 on AM 910 WJCW. And new home sales reported this morning, well, they're down. They're down. What does that mean for us here in the Tri, Bill?
They're still down.
Yeah.
So how the national numbers and our numbers reflect, in the past we've had a seasonal, about a six-month lag in performance where we were behind national numbers of the hot spots in the market.
Trends in general.
So that has down narrowed to almost simultaneous with that happening with our area versus the national. So when national, they say the home sales are down, they are down. And they're also reflected in our area being down too. And just to give you an example, you know, sales were down in the month of April in our area, like 15.7%. That's a lot, guys.
Yes, it is.
That's a huge amount.
Yes, it is.
And pendings were also down a little less than 2%. But it's reflective of what's going to happen in the future. Now, it's very hard to predict it because there's so many variables that control how people buy, you know, what people buy and how they buy houses and how they shop and what makes them feel comfortable and when do they sell houses. There's a lot of variables in there. But there's so much uncertainty going on right now. I think it's softened the markets, and we're seeing that in every geographical area all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The housing industry is starting to soften. Interest rates are ticking up. And as you heard the example on the radio this morning, the young lady pointed out that the average in the last 2 years, the average increase in mortgage rates or mortgage cost to the homeowner would be an extra $450 on a $450,000 home. So that is substantial.
Extra $450 plus the normal payment.
Yes. So that's substantial. When people look at that, they say, hey, that's a lot. Can I really afford a home right now, or should we just wait and continue renting or live with mom and dad? Well, I'm a big proponent. I mean, I'm a big supporter of living with mom and dad. I think that is huge. If multi-generational households make sense. We just don't do them in this country very often, but they really make sense. And that's what I believe in. So I think that's good. But the uptick in the interest rates and the slowdown in home sales and listings were down too. Listings were down this year versus last year, I think 11.3%.
Year to date?
Yeah, year to date, which is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. So you couple that with higher interest rates and mortgages, it takes the home affordability off the plate for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
See, understand, remember I said the interest rates really don't affect home sales, but they do affect affordability. In other words, if once I could afford a $200,000 home with the interest rate uptick, now I'm looking at a $150,000 mm-hmm. home, and just to clear those payments. So it presents a problem for a lot of people, especially in our area. A lot of young people are trying to get a start and be first-time home buyers, and we want them to stay in our area. We don't want them to leave. We want those young, brilliant brains to stay in our area, and we want them to be able to afford a home and raise their kids here. So that's been really challenging for them, especially with the influx of people that have come in from out of state, and we've had a tremendous influx of people. I mean, I bet every one of my realtors has tons of people that they're working with right now in multiple states all over the country that want to move here. In fact, land sales, for the first time in the history of this area, mm-hmm. Land sales ticked up like 40%, and there's hardly that much extra land. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have called daily asking, do you have any, like, 5 or 6 acre tracts of land? I want a good view. I want to be flat. I like a creek on it. And you know, there isn't. The answer is no, there's not for sale, because those have been sold a year or two ago. Because what happened with the pandemic, when people couldn't find houses, they started buying land in the country because they thought that was their cushion, that they could possibly retire one year and build a home.
Yeah, my granddad, I always remember him saying, whenever you can, son, buy land.
Well, your granddad was a smart man, and I wish I would have listened. I wish he was my granddad.
Yeah, I didn't listen, obviously.
Yeah, nobody told me that, and here I am.
Nevertheless.
Here I am selling the stuff. But I'd rather owned it.
You're talking about the problems, though, for first-time home buyers. I would imagine that current conditions are almost sweeping them to the side totally right now.
They're getting steamrolled by people that are coming from outside, from other states, that have sold their houses for a lot more than, you know, they've taken a once in a lifetime profit sharing gain on those houses, and they're coming into our area with cash, you know, cash rich. You know, when I say rich, I don't mean like rich. They just have a lot of extra disposable income
because
they sold their houses and they have cash now. So they're coming into our area and outbidding our local folks. Most of our local first-time home buyers, the kids that I'm talking about, the 24 to 36 year olds, basically 37 maybe in some cases, those guys don't have the ability at this point in their lives to pay cash for a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of these people from the other areas, they're quite a bit older and want to get here in the country so they can breathe fresh air and drive on our highways, which I love that we have it that way. They have cash, and you know, they can do that. They can come in here and aggressively buy a home, because to them, our area is still undervalued compared to, let's say, California, Texas, Ohio, and some parts of Florida, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and anymore, it seems like cash is king. We've all been reading stories about some analysts are saying, you know, divest yourself of some of your investments and put it in cash right now. So,
well, with the performance of the market, that probably doesn't make, that's not a bad call, but I'm certainly, nobody can call our economy 100% right.
Oh, of course not.
We read, Carl and I read tremendous amount of material daily regarding economy and statistics and things. That's our interest. That's our hobby. We love that.
Okay? Well, you have a master's in economics.
I do. And so we love that aspect of it. So what we do is then try to filter through all that information that's coming. And the bottom line, I just determined this last night when I was looking for, you know, what was the topic going to be today's show. The bottom line is that nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't know, because if they know, they wouldn't talk about it anyway, because they would just be doing something
different, right?
You know, so we really don't know how this economy is going to play out. We know that inflation isn't going to go anywhere. It's set in, and it's set in heavy too.
Yes,
and I don't think that's, if anybody thinks the price of food is going to go back down, I think that they're greatly mistaken, because I don't think that's going to happen, and nor is the price of housing either. So I say, let's get used to the new temperature of the water and move forward with it and be very positive about it. I think that ultimately that's what it's going to take to pull our country out of this thing. Not to mention, I think if we get manufacturing back in the U.S., that would be a huge plus.
Well, I've been reading as a view that a lot of major companies, international companies based in the States now that had outsourcing abroad, are now beginning to make the plans to rebuild, or in some cases, like Samsung, they're investing $17 billion in Texas to create chips. That's what we've needed, chips.
Sure,
bringing it home again.
We should not be dependent on foreign anything. We're a beautiful, healthy country that's extremely resilient. So we should be able to provide for our folks and make things here and sold here and put Americans back to work 100%. Because right now, America is not back to work, and they don't want to go back to work because we don't have a reason to go back to work. But if we were manufacturing things, the 50% of the people psychologically, that's what they kind of, they like that stuff. Like, I don't like to put things together, but there's people that do, and they love those kind of jobs. And so those things were missing. So getting them back to the United States is going to help us, I think.
Yeah.
And it's going to help the housing market overall. But more importantly, it's going to help the overall economy.
Where would we get bananas then?
Well, you know, there's, it's funny you should say that. Florida grows some of the delicious, most delicious bananas in the world. But
seriously?
They don't, but nobody grows them commercially there.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Any of the tropical areas. I mean, yeah. Some parts of Texas you could grow bananas. California, bananas all day long. But Florida especially, they love that high humidity.
Well, are there like, you know, boutiques? No, I mean boutique banana farms and this sort of thing?
You know, I don't know that.
I'm just curious.
I just remember as a kid growing up in central Florida, a place called Merritt Island, when I was growing up there, we used to be able to go and pick them off the banana trees, and they were all over the place.
Nice.
And they were delicious bananas.
Yeah.
So Shakita can do it, so can somebody else. Right?
I can see you wearing that headdress and everything.
Yeah, right. I know.
Fly with that. And mangoes. What about mangoes? So mangoes, I've been making this new mango salsa. And so mangoes grow hardy in California and in Florida. And,
very
and
healthy.
But yet we get a lot of them from you know, Haiti and these other countries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there has to be a provision, obviously, for international trade to a degree.
Oh, I'm very much so vested in international trade on a small degree. Trade, but not where we're dependent on another country. You know, there's too many variables that we're out of our control when that happens. Number one, their governments.
Yeah.
You know, we know what we got, but we don't know what they got.
Yeah.
Okay, so, or we do know what they got. That's what's scary.
After World War II, I think generally the world has taken, for the most part, sort of a 70-year nap. It's time to wake up.
I know, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then, of course, in the 80s when we signed GATT, and the GATT bills into play, that just killed the rest of the manufacturing for the U.S. But
from
anyway,
your perspective as someone who knows economics or studies it, stagflation. Where we have a stagnant economy and inflation. We don't have that yet, but we could get close. What do you think?
We're close.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to leave it at that because we're just close. So on a good note.
Yes, sir.
So Kingsport came in number 12 and Johnson City number 16 on the hottest new area trend report. Based on MSA, which is the marketing area for, say, Kingsport, Bristol is one area, and Johns City is another area. There was four in North Carolina, but we came in number 12 for Kingsport, Bristol, and number 16 for Johnson City, and that's really, really good. There was four hot areas. That was in North Carolina that Concord and Burlington that really did really well. And you're familiar with that area, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And so they're really hot right now.
Yeah. I've been trying to buy property up in the Raleigh area. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's untouchable. It's not available, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
And not my price range.
Right. Well, we haven't hit that yet here, but if you know, it could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen where it prices a lot of people out, especially with the interest rates aspect of it.
Well, we do depend on your economic insights each Wednesday here, along with, of course, talking about the real estate market in Northeast Tennessee. Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties. You know, you owe Peggy, you know. A payment for that.
Oh, yeah,
she came
sure,
up with that
sure.
years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, thank you again. I love you and Slinky. And Eric's good, too. Good people. I love the family.
Thank you. Premier Homes and Properties, Bill Hall joins us. How do folks get in touch, Bill?
Well, there's a couple ways. My office number is 530-7077. That's my office. My home, my home, which I live in my cell phone, is 423-946-7575. Again, 946-7575 is the best number to reach me, and I'm usually available.
And in South Florida, the number is?
423-946-7575.
There he is, Bill Hall, the real estate guy. We'll talk to you next week, Bill.
I can't hardly wait.